Welcome to day 55. We are up to Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud Aleph, the very last Mishnah in the sixth Perek Maseches Peah, and then we'll start the seventh Perek together. So says Mishnah Yud Aleph, Hakotzer Balayla, someone who is harvesting at night, Vahama'amir, or someone who is bundling together grain at night, Vahasuma, or someone who is blind who is harvesting or bundling, Yesh Lehem Shechacha. In all of those cases, there is Shechacha. So what's the Chiddush? Why would we think otherwise? So we learned previously that Shechacha only applies when something is naturally forgotten, when something slips a person's mind. But if there is an external factor causing someone to forget it, then Shechacha does not apply. What we learned in the Mishnah was one example is if a person is standing in front of the piles so that it's blocked from the view of the farmer, so then when the farmer forgets it, he didn't really forget it, he just couldn't see it. And therefore, Shechacha doesn't apply. Similarly, if a person covers grain, right, covers the bundles with something, right? So then again, if the farmer then forgets it, that's not considered Shechacha. The farmer didn't forget it, just couldn't see it. And therefore, external factors prevent Shechacha from taking hold. So we might think, going back to our Mishnah, we might think that maybe nighttime is one of those external factors. A person is harvesting at night. The reason a person might forget a part of the field or might forget to bring in bundles is because it's dark outside, right? He didn't forget it, he just couldn't see it. Similarly with a summa, we might assume that the person who's blind didn't forget a bundle, but the person just couldn't see him. But says our Mishnah, no, it's not true. Why? When a person is harvesting at night, the person knows that they're harvesting at night, and if they're choosing to harvest, they're going to take the extra precautions, they're going to institute whatever protocol they would have in order to ensure that, I know it's dark outside, I know it's likely that I could forget something, and therefore I'm going to make sure that I don't. So if a person at that point is choosing to harvest at night, we assume they took those extra protocol, and therefore at that point, if a person forgets it, it really is shechacha. Same thing by a summa. If a blind person is harvesting, we assume that that person knows that it's particularly challenging, and therefore has protocol and has ways of going about it to ensure that the summa is successful. And therefore, if at that point it's forgotten, we assume that it was actually forgotten and not because of the condition of the blind person. Therefore, shechacha does apply. If a person decides, I'm going to harvest in a unique way. I'm first going to harvest all of the thick grain, then I'm going to go back and then harvest all of the thin grain. So if a bundle of grain is left in the middle, we say, ein lo shechacha, there is no shechacha. Why? We learned previously that if something is extremely likely to be remembered later on, then shechacha doesn't take hold. Right? If shechacha only applies when something is likely going to continue to be forgotten. But if it's very extremely likely that a person is going to remember it later, then shechacha doesn't work. Well, in this case, if a person is going back and forth in the field because they're first harvesting this type of grain and then harvesting that type, so then the person is going to go back and see the bundles on the floor. It's extremely likely that the person will remember it, and therefore shechacha does not take hold. Im amar harani kotzer amanas mashani shochech ani etol. If a person says, I'm going to harvest on condition that anything that I remember really belongs to me. Basically saying, everything that I don't remember, anything that I forget, will not be shechacha. That's what the person says. So then, yesh lo shechacha. No, it doesn't work. Of course it's lo shechacha. Because you can't make a tanai, you can't make a condition against what the Torah says. The Torah says that anything that you forget goes to the poor, goes to the aniyim. You can't decide that I'm going to harvest on condition that whatever I forget doesn't go to the poor. The Torah says it does. And therefore, it doesn't work, and anything you forget really is shechacha. Okay, now we're going to learn the seventh paragraph. And the seventh paragraph is going to talk about shechacha when it comes to trees. We're going to use the example of the olive tree, even though it really applies to all trees. But we're going to use the example of the olive tree because of the end of the Mishnah that specifically refers to olives. So says Mishnah Aleph, Kol zayis sheyesh lo shem basada. Any olive tree that has a particular name, really it means a particular reputation in the field, such as it drips oil because it produces so much, as an example. Afilu kazayis anatupa b'shaiso. Even if it only drips that certain amount of time, like it doesn't always drip oil, but there are times that it drips oil, but because of that, it has the reputation of the tree that drips oil. In that case, ushichcho, a person forgets to harvest that tree, eino shechacha. It is not considered shechacha for the reason that we said previously, right? If something is extremely likely to be remembered later on, so then it is not considered shechacha. In this case, there's a tree that has a particular reputation. It's like a special tree. And therefore, the farmer is going to pay extra special attention to it and is going to double check and triple check by those trees. And therefore, even if it's forgotten at the very beginning, it's not considered shechacha because it's almost certain that the farmer is going to go back to that tree and make sure that everything was taken. But medavar mamurim, what are we talking about? What are the factors? What are the attributes that can make something a special tree such that shechacha wouldn't apply? So one of them we said, bishmo, either in its name or reputation, b'masa, what it produces, or bimkomo, its place. The Mishnah is now going to explain each one of those things. Bishmo, Shahaya Shivchoni. Obeshani. Someone has a nickname. Oh, that's the tree that pours out oil, that drips oil. Or that's the tree that's Beishani, that shames other trees. It embarrasses other trees because it produces so much. That's an example of a tree that has a nickname because of its reputation. Ob Ma'asav. If it's about what it produces, Shehu Osaharbe. It produces much more, many more olives than other trees. Ob Mkomo. Shehu Omed Betzad Agas. Ob Betzad Apirza. Where it's situated is either right by a wine press or right next to a gap in the wall or a hole in the wall. In those cases, you'd say, oh yeah, that's the tree that's near the wine press, or that's the tree that's near the gap, or that's the tree that produces, right? It all has, each one of those factors can create a special reputation around that tree, and therefore the farmer is going to be specifically careful. Oh, I know that tree, that's the tree that's near the wall. I'm going to make sure to double check and triple check. In all of those cases, it's unlikely that they'll really remain forgotten, and therefore shichcha does not apply. I do think it's interesting that the three factors that make something unique here are the name or reputation, what one produces, like what like the results of one's actions, and number three, where one situates oneself, right? Where perhaps socially, around what community, around what friends. I think it's interesting if you take those three factors away from trees and think about it in terms of us. What makes us unique or what defines us? I think it's a fascinating thing, those three factors. Okay, anyway. Ushar kol hazeisim, when it comes to all other olive trees, regular olive trees, ones that don't have a particular reputation, shnayim shicha or shlosha enim shicha, if two trees are forgotten, that's considered shicha, but three trees that are forgotten is not. We've already seen that framework, right? Two is shicha, three isn't. Okay. Rabbi Yossi omer ein shicha lazeisim. Rabbi Yossi says something remarkable. There is never shicha when it comes to olive trees. Olive trees are always exempt from shicha. Why? So the Bratanur explains, Rabbi Yossi was talking about during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, when there was a lot of destruction in Eretz Yisrael, and olive trees were very, very hard to come by. They were destroyed. And therefore, if someone had an olive tree, it was so rare that a person would take extra care of it. It was almost like the essence of an olive tree was that it was special, and therefore, someone would take extra care, and it would never be forgotten. A person would always go back and double-check and triple-check. So therefore, Zaysim, olive trees were always exempt from Shicha, because a person would always eventually remember because they were so special. But in a normal time, when there's an abundance of olive trees, even Rabbi Yossi would agree, says the Bartanura, that Shicha certainly does apply to olive trees. And I think that just highlights that, as we know, Shicha is somewhat subjective. It depends on the time, it depends on the place, it depends on the situation. Okay, we are going to continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.